All right, so we start hour number two. Good to have you on the program. My name is Jim Rome. I'm in Southern California. We are live. 1 hour down. We just had Bo Nix on. If you want to react to that, go ahead. Joe Varden's coming up next segment. I want to get his thoughts on what happened last night. I already talked at length about the Lakers and the Nuggets. 1-800-636-8686. Because of the Laker meltdown and then their further meltdown after the meltdown, I led with that. Otherwise, we'd be talking about that crazy ending to the Knicks-Phillies game. But top of hour number two is better than not at all. Just didn't make top of hour number one. Nick fan, you know I didn't forget about you. Look, I'm a SoCal guy. You know I'm going to lead with a SoCal take. Fact. I'm going to represent. But Nick fan, I'm still all about what happened last night. I did not forget about you. You know I love you, you crazy Knicks fans. You also know I love a rabid, crazed night at MSG. I do. I love that energy. I love it. Even if it comes at the expense of Philly fan, who I also love. Yeah, I know, Rome, you love everybody. No, I don't. I love Philly fan. I love Knicks fan. I love them because they're out of control. I just love how out of control crazy Knicks fan gets. What's not to love about these fans foaming at the mouth?
Suck my Trae Young! Suck my Trae Young! Yeah, Trae Young looks like my dad's I never saw my dad. He still looks like
I better not catch Trae and Dankman. I better not catch Trae and Dankman.
Now, yo, give me a shot at it.
Go, New York, go, New York, go.
You'll be back.
Is Trae Young valid?
No.
Trae Young, you motherfucker. I'm going to fuck you up.
Could Trae Young come to your hood right now?
Hell no. I'll shoot that his ball in.
Wow, wow.
What would you say to Trae Young right now?
Tell Trae Young,
Trae Young. Yeah, we outside. Yeah. Trae Young. Bow, 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 bow.
If Trae Young was here right now, I'd pull out his hair.
Trae Young's ball. Trae Young's ball.
Wow. I mean, find me another fan like Knicks fan. That is insane. And I want to say that last night's vibe nearly matched that. I don't know that anything will ever match that. I don't know that anything will ever match Knicks fans' hatred of Trae Young. They're still chanting, Trae Young's bald. Trae Young's bald. I mean, Trae Young's got nothing to do with this series, and they're still chanting about him. So that was essentially the vibe at MSG last night. But despite crazy Knicks fan doing crazy Knicks fan things, which I love, and making the atmosphere incredible, the Knicks still had to pull that game out of the fire. Credit to the Sixers, I guess, for having the Knicks on the ropes. But no credit to the Sixers for the way they finished, because they didn't. And Philly fan, I don't want to hear from you either about the refs. Just like I don't want to hear LeBag blaming the replay center, I don't want to hear about the refs not bailing you out with a timeout.
What are we doing?
Philly, listen. The ref show did not blow a 5-point lead in the last 30 seconds. Actually, 14, if we're being real. Your team did. Your Sixers can protest all they want, but they're never getting that game back, and nor should they. Because they got that game snatched from them, it just wasn't from the refs. The refs did not rip that game from them. The Knicks did. The Sixers were supposed to be the ones doing the snatching. They were supposed to be snatching home court from the Knicks. They were supposed to be snatching Knicks souls. And that would have been enormous. It could have easily flipped this series. And the Sixers gagged that opportunity away, period. It was not the refs. It was that crazy wild sequence, which will go down as one of the best moments in Knicks playoff history. One of the worst moments in Sixers playoff history. It was incredible.
Brunson, sidestep, three-pointer, shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Wow, a double bang from Mike Breen.
Bang!
Big week already for bangs. A Mike Breen double bang. After we already had a Jim Lampley chitty chitty bang bang reset yesterday. Then that play. And that call was so epic. I don't know, Alvy. It's up to you, but is this in order? Is it warranted? We may need to hear a chitty chitty bang bang remix based on what happened last night.
The sound it makes. Listen.
What's better than the Chitty Chitty Double Bang remix? Now we have two. That's two for you, Alvy. That's two for the jungle. Look, Philly fan, I know you're angry. Of course you're angry. Who could possibly sit through that sequence and not be furious? Except it's not the ref show's fault. And believe me, I'd be the first one to point it out if it were. Deep down, you all know that. It's just misplaced or displaced anger. You know just as well as my guy Nick Nurse knows, it was not on the refs. You're also mad at the ref show because deep down you all know you had that game and you let it get away. You're mad at the ref show because you needed that game and had that game. Deep down, you all thought that game was already over. Admit it, Philly fan. Admit that all of you were thinking exactly what was being said on the Sixers TV broadcast with 47 seconds left. I hate to air you out like this, NBC Sports Philly crew, but I have to because it's just too perfect. Philly, you know this is what you were all thinking in this moment, every last one of you.
You'd love to, but the goal is not having home court advantage to getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
You'd love to get two, but the goal is winning one of the two on the road to get the home court. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Job done.
Job done. Job done.
Job done. Job done.
Not exactly. Not exactly, unless the job was to take one of those two games that you want to steal on the road and gag it away in epic fashion. If that's the case, then yes, job done.
Job done.
If that's the case, then job extremely well done.
Now I'm done.
Good job. Good effort.
Good job. Good
effort.
Job
Philly,
done.
You should be thanking the Lake Show for the cover today, or you'd be getting all the heat. All of it. But here's where I won't get on the Sixers. I'm not going to jump Joel for hanging his head in his locker after the game. I mean, no, it's not the ideal body language for the MVP. It's not the ideal body language for the face of the franchise. But if you listen to him, it's not like the dude was lacking for confidence. In fact, even after losing that gut-wrenching game, Joel was actually guaranteeing that they would still win the series.
We should be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
I see. That's why I don't have an issue with his body language. He just said, no, we're good. We're good. We're still going to win this series. We're the better team. We know what we have to fix, and we are going to fix it, and we are going to win. Man, that'd be a legendary call because he's busted up. If he could lead them back and win 4 or 5, that would be something else. Now, I don't know that I buy that. I'm just saying. Hypothetically, that'd be great. My man's not right. But he's a warrior. He's out there. He's trying to play through it. He's not only trying to play through it. It's one thing to be in a lot of pain. You know, like searing pain.
Oh, searing pain!
It's one thing to be in pain and to will yourself out there and put yourself in the fight. But it's another to be in that kind of pain, will yourself out there, put yourself in that fight, and produce. And he is. He's not just out there trying. He's out there 34-10 and giving his team every chance possible to win.
34.
Now, you know, I got a pretty high threshold for the big fella's pain. I don't know that he can make it through 4 more games. much less win 4 more games. But I'm not going to count him out. And I love a good guarantee. I especially love a guarantee when you're busted up and you choke away a game and you're down 2-0.
We're going to win this series.
This is also the spot where I might allow a conspiracy theory. Let me just say this. I don't think that Joe had his head down in the locker room because he was depressed or pouting. You know what I think? I think something's going on with his eye. I think that's why his head was down. Something weird is going on with that eye. Like something weird, like he got poked or gouged more than once.
Oh my God.
He's out there in pain, playing his ass off. So I'm not coming at Joe for poor body language. Guy's probably a little out of shape, first of all, after missing all that time. He's completely gassed. And I think somebody did try to gouge his eye out. So I'm going to forgive him for less than stellar body language. Hope the guy's all right. Because he better be all right if he plans to back up that promise that he just made. That's a huge guarantee to make after one of the all-time gag jobs.
We're going to win this series.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You know what he didn't do? He didn't get up in front of the media and say, they don't like me. The league doesn't like me. And then stomp off. He said, hey, we're good. We're going to still win this series. That's what I expect to hear from faces of the franchise. That's what I expect to hear from future Hall of Famers. That's what I expect to hear from alphas. Even if it's not going to happen, sit up there and say, we're good. We're good. Yeah, we're going to win this series. We're still going to win this series.
We're going to win this series.
AD's like, yeah, I'm not going to win the Defensive Player of the Year award because the league doesn't like me. Hey, AD, the league doesn't vote on that award. And why are you even talking about that award? Why are you even talking about that award in the middle of a playoff series? Not even the MVP, the Defensive Player of the Year award. Dude, do you have any idea how selfish that makes you look? And complaining about it. And saying, the league doesn't like me. And then LeBag. You know, I so badly wanted to get up here today. I mean this. And say, damn, this guy. This dude. He is so unbelievable. Like, I cannot believe the way LeBron was playing down the stretch of that game.
Unbelievable.
Like, incredible. Big shot after big shot. Play after play. This dude is incredible. I really wanted to say that. In defeat. And then the guy gets up there and he just bags it all up. And he won't let me.
What the fuck do we have a replay center?
Anyway, Sixers, you better be ready to back up your MVP and make it a series. Or that disaster won't go down as one of the worst choke jobs in recent memory. It'll go down as one of the worst choke jobs in recent memory and empty guarantees. But again, you know, I'm pro Joe. I've always been a Joel guy, and I respect that he did it. We're still going to win. We're good. We know what we're doing wrong. We're going to fix it. We got this. Even if it's not true, man, just say it.
We're going to win this series.
Kind of like the ham. Yeah, yeah, ham, we know that you have no answer to Jokic. No shame in that. You know why there's no shame in that? There is no answer to Jokic. Just like there's no answer to the Jokic brothers. Why do people keep messing with them?
Brother.
Unless you want to get punched in the face like that one fan last night. I understand that you don't have an answer to him. Even though you have the Defensive Player of the Year who thinks that the league hates him because he's not getting any run. But even then, I get that you don't have an answer. But you probably don't want to admit that either in the middle of the series. Bo Nix getting some love from that region of the country. Amber is in. Romy, love the interview with that Bo Nix 10. I can't wait to see where he goes in the draft. He is such a stand-up dude. I wish him nothing but the best. Now he's got the jungle karma on his side. War, once a duck, always a duck. Well, he was at Auburn, too. But he didn't put up numbers as a duck, that's for sure. John in New York wants in. What up, John? Hey, Jim. I got a problem with the replay center, too. Signed Mike in Indy. War Mike taking smack off 30.
You better don't.
He might. if he shows up, I'll guarantee you one lock. Mike may tell you the lock is they'll screw me. The lock is they'll jam me. The lock is I'll get robbed. To which I would respond, actually, Mikey, I'm still pro you. Anytime you want to come in, Mike, you're still welcome. The lock is, Mike, if you don't show up, you can't win. Mike might say, no, the lock, Rome, is if I do show up, I'll have the best call and you still won't give it to me. Why would I do that, Mike? I have nothing against you, Mike. I like you, Mike. I've always liked you, Mike. You've always made it better, Mike. I want you to show up for Smack Off 30, Mike. We're not out to get you. I'm not AD. We're not the league. When we come back, Joe Vardon joins us. If you're on hold, stay there. Stay there. We're taking telephone calls. So, let's talk for a minute about the importance of feeling good. Feeling good, or how you feel in general, pretty much affects everything else in your life, right? You want to feel good. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. It is 100% drug-free and developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. And Relief Factor helps to support your body's natural response to inflammation. I like that. So whether it's neck pain, back pain, joint pain, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. I know people that use it that suffer from neck pain, back pain, joint pain, muscle pain, and I know it's helped them. Me personally, you know, I feel pretty good, generally. However, as I mentioned before, Justin Fields nailed it. I'm a big cardio guy. I'll admit that. I'm not throwing the weights around. I'm a big cardio guy. I push myself as hard as I possibly can, and now more than ever. And I got to admit, I don't bounce back the way I used to, or at least that's the way it was before I started taking Relief Factor. And now I do. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I know a number of you are on hold. Stay there, please. Guaranteed phone calls coming up. Need you there. And I will take those telephone calls momentarily. I am efforting Joe Vardon right now. And I want to talk some ball with him. He's a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Meantime, one phone line is open. Number of you are on hold. One is open. 1-800-636-8686. As promised, we are joined right now by a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, also a contributor to The Athletic NBA Show podcast. He previously served as the Cavaliers beat writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. He is Joe Vardon. Joe, great to have you on the program. Joe, how are you?
I'm great, man. It's great to be back.
Good to have you back, Joe. Appreciate it so much. So the Nuggets snatched the Lakers' souls yet again last night. They came back from 20 down in the second half to wreck them. I mean, was that an unbelievable comeback by the Nuggets or a catastrophic meltdown by the Lakers, who just blew another double-digit lead? How do you see that game, Joe?
This reminds me of Game 1 of the 2018 Finals. It was at Oracle in Oakland. The Cavs were huge underdogs and came out in Game 1 just firing. LeBron was unreal. I think he had like 51. And they had him. They had Golden State. And if something was going to happen in the series, it was going to be impacted by that game. But this is the game where JR forgot to score. Nobody called timeout. They didn't take the last shot of winning overtime. They lost. LeBron came into the locker room, punched the wall, broke his hand, kept playing but wasn't the same, and they got swept. And so you think about this, what's going on in between the Nuggets and the Lakers and the history, like 10 in a row or whatever it was, and to have that team down 20, playing the way that everybody was, you know, LeBron, AD were playing, and to lose it like that, it's it's hard to imagine a team getting off the mat in game three or four, being down 2-0 the way that they're down 2-0.
No doubt. Joe Varden joining us. So if that's the way it goes, Joe, whenever the series ends, what changes would you anticipate the Lakers making to try to get the most out of LeBron's remaining years?
You know, they have a good track record when it comes to LeBron, you know, like they've tried a bunch of stuff. Like they went and got AD, you know, they've changed coaches a number of times. The Russell Westbrook trade didn't work, but then all the deals that they made last February did work. You know, they got to the conference finals. So, you know, they are going to take a big swing is what we hear. Like they're targeting maybe Trae Young or Murray, you know, in Atlanta. Donovan Mitchell here in Cleveland is a name that comes up as a trade target. Whether it happens is another matter. But they want to get that one. They want to take that one more run. You know, they know LeBron's at the end. They know even Anthony Davis is getting older. So you need that dynamic third player. And, you know, again, the Lakers have shown us that they are willing to try this with LeBron on their team.
Joe Varden joining us once again. So, Joe, what about the Knicks? They also stabbed the 76ers in the heart. They go on that 8-0 run in the final 27 seconds in that wild comeback win. Would you make the same argument about Philadelphia that if you're going to lose that game the way they lost that game, granted they haven't lost 10 in a row to the Knicks, but do you see them? Because Joel afterwards said, we're good, and he guaranteed they'd come back and win the series. Can you make any argument for Philadelphia at this point?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Especially if Joel is going to look more like he did last night and then play even better, I guess. You know, I mean, they say in the playoffs, it's a cliche. I don't know if I believe it all the time, but they say, you know, the series doesn't really start until somebody picks up a win on the other team's floor. So, you know, the series shifts to Philadelphia. Coming into the tournament, the Sixers were by far the hottest team. Joel was playing well. They were playing well. You know, then he tweaks his knee. A couple things happen. But, yeah, like, they are close. And, you know, if Joel is okay, they certainly have a chance to get back in the series. Nick Nurse is awesome. One of the best coaches in the league, I think. You know, I think the gnashing of teeth over the officiating will get the refs' attention. It always does, you know, fair or not. And so I think you'll see a little bit different tone in game three. You know, Jim, it's a fun story, too. Last night, I'm in Cleveland for the first round covering the Cavs and Magic. And the Cavs beat the Magic again last night, but they didn't open the doors for the locker room to let us in. And we were wondering why. And then it dawned on some of us, like, oh, they're watching the end of this game. And through the walls, we could hear the Cavs react as a team when DiVincenzo hit that last three. It was unbelievable how loud the reaction. So you can just imagine that all throughout the NBA, just shock over the way that game ended.
Nice job, Joe. I love that. That's a great anecdote. A great anecdote. So I was going to say next that you are in Cleveland and you're covering the Cavaliers and their second straight win over the Magic last night. You know, I really expected more than what I've seen from Orlando thus far. Nothing against Cleveland. But what's been your biggest takeaways from that series so far?
Yeah. So the Cavs really aren't playing well, and they are in total command of the series. And to your point about the Magic, like, you know, I had seen them a couple times throughout the year. I really like their young team. I like the direction. And I knew that they were in the bottom third of the league in offense. But when you get into this series and see them as a group and the inability to make a three-point shot in today's game, is, I mean, obviously it's a deal breaker. And I think back to, you know, Franz Wagner, who is one of their most dynamic players, and he carried Germany to the FIBA World Cup. And I bring it up because I covered that, and then I saw him every step of the way. I saw him against the U.S. I saw him beat Serbia in the finals. And he was one of the best players in the tournament. And the Magic need him to do that in this series, and he has been unable really to shake free from Max Strus. Strus is here from Miami. He brings that heat culture. He brings that sort of like toughness. Yeah, don't talk to me about the first round kind of attitude that is lacking on an otherwise young team in Cleveland. And Strus isn't like jumping off the stat sheet with his threes or anything like that, but he is locking up Wagner, making it really tough on him. And the Magic just don't have an answer right now. Jared Allen has made Isaac virtually unplayable in the middle. Suggs hurt his knee last night. I thought he was done for months. And of course, he's so tough, he comes out and plays in the second half with the sleeve over his leg. But the Magic are in trouble right now. And, like, you know, obviously there'll be some adjustments, probably some lineup changes, but it's hard to imagine what it could be that would get them back into the series if they're not going to make shots.
You know, it's hard to dispute that. I agree. I thought they would do better. I thought they'd be in a better spot, but you're right. If you're not knocking in three, you've got no shot. And if you're not making shots at all, you really have no shot, obviously. Joe Varden joining us. Hey, Joe, what do you make of Indy and Milwaukee? For instance, Indy won 4 of 5 in the regular season with Milwaukee, and the Bucks were without Giannis. Dame supposedly was so unhappy. A little unusual to see Dame go off the way he did in the first half, given he was so unhappy. But what about the Pacers, man? I mean, what do you make of the way they showed up? And then how different a Pacers squad are you expecting to see tonight?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think for survival purposes, we need to see a much more focused, tougher Pacers team that pays far greater attention to detail. But this is the thing about the playoffs, and if you're around the playoffs a lot, it becomes a cliche. It's almost like second hat. But if you just casually watch, then maybe you don't realize the difference, not in the intensity. Like, yeah, of course, the playoffs are more intense, but it is the attention to detail. One time, Steven Adams was telling me, like, he had just joined the Grizzlies, and he was talking to me about what he can bring to that Grizzlies team that had been to the playoffs before but was so young that it didn't go well. And he's talking about literally it comes down to the inch when you're trying to set a screen or how you get around a screen or how you close out on a three. And those are the things that you just don't know until you've been there. And so when you look at the Pacers and you're wondering how did they get blitzed by this team that they handled all year long, I think more than anything that happened in the regular season, it comes down to a very young group collectively that doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. Like, I know Siakam's there. I know he's been there. He's had deep playoff runs. But outside of Siakam, it's a young group, and Halliburton's very young, and on down the line. And you don't know about how precise you have to be in these pressure situations until you've gone through it. So is one game enough of a reality check for the younger players to catch up? I suppose we'll see. But for all the knocking we do on Doc Rivers, he's got a ton of playoff experience. I know Rick Carlisle does too, but Doc's team is a veteran team with champions, and the Pacers largely are not that.
Joe Varden joining us. Joe, before you go, you wrote a really interesting piece, I thought, for The Athletic about how injury concerns could impact Team USA at the Paris Olympics. For instance, if Kawhi Leonard and Joel can't go, how would USA basketball go about filling those roster spots when most NBA players will be on vacation and getting that much coveted, much needed downtime with their families?
That's a great question, Jim, and it is especially so because of how this unfolded. Almost because, you know, if you go back to September and you think about, there was a story that Shams and I did sort of announcing that LeBron and Steph and KD were interested. But right away, you had like 6 or 7, no doubt, hands down, forget about it, Hall of Famers that said, I want to play for Team USA. To the point where it was like the USA basketball people had to say, okay, this is great, but we need to do something to engage the younger players in the event something happens to these guys who say they want to play, that we can still fill out our roster with the best possible talent. So they put out this pool of 41 players. And so now everybody on that list is a candidate, a known public candidate to be on Team USA. So we get to last week, and the team gets announced, and there's really no surprises on it. Those names had been reported by us and a few others for months. And so the players who were under consideration that had to find out that they're not going to be on Team USA, now not only do they make separate plans, but some of them may have hurt feelings. Now, there certainly is a sense of, like, service to country, you know, playing for USA, like pride, and then the allure of Paris. I get all that. That could trump some of these hard feelings. But I can tell you there are some hard feelings on some with some of the players on that list that didn't make it. So, you know, the juggling act of replacing a player like Joel, if they have to, or Kawhi, if they have to, is going to be, you know, whose ego is still in check, whose plans are breakable. There are players on that list that didn't make it who are going to get married now this summer. Can they switch that around if they get the call? You know, so there's a number of different ways this could go, including in 2021. You know, we had training camp in Tokyo or in Las Vegas, and Bradley Beal and Kevin Love were on the team. Well, neither of those players were able to break camp and go to Tokyo. And so one player came from the select team. So that's the group of younger NBA guys who come to Vegas to practice against Team USA. That was Keldon Johnson. And then they just called JaVale McGee off the street. You know, he wasn't in a big pool. He wasn't in training camp. They called him and asked him to play. He was in great shape, and he was able to come and play a small role. So, you know, if they have to go that route, Jim, there's definitely a scenario where instead of filling it with another superstar, now they look the role player route. This is the first team, probably since the Dream Team, that does not have a role player. These are 12 superstars on this team.
Hey, Joe, I love JaVale McGee. I'd ask him again. I'd give him a lifetime exemption. I don't even care how old he is. I'd let that guy play at 80. I love JaVale McGee. Joe Vard is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. He's also a contributor to the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Hey, Joe, it's always great to have you on the show. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again soon, Joe. Appreciate it. Joe Vardon joining us. Good stuff. Good conversation. And I do love JaVale McGee. Like, I mean that. I'd invite him again. I'd always invite him. Early and often. As much as you want. All right, let's take a short time out. I want to talk to you for a minute about...
Early and often, Slay.
Feeling good. You want to feel good. You want to feel good because it impacts your entire experience, right? If you don't feel well, then your life's probably not going to go nearly as well. So you want to feel good. Relief Factor understands this. Relief Factor, for those of you who do not know yet, it's a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. The thing I like best about it, it's 100% drug-free. Relief Factor, developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Now, tell me I'm wrong. I know some of you listening right now have pain. Neck pain, back pain, joint pain, muscle pain. Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Also, Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. I've been telling you, I use it. They sent it to me to try. I use it. I take it every single day. It helps me feel a difference in terms of recovery from workouts. I feel much better. My energy is better. I like it. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call this number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order. It's 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not included to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Here's a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Remember, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags, so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What is your beef? Time to go to the phones. First stop. I knew this guy was coming. It's not a question of if, a matter of when. When would he get up the energy, the nerve, to let it rip? He goes right to the front of the line. He is V in the fee. V, I guess I'd ask how you living, but I already know. What's up, dude?
Yo, my friend Jack Daniels, Jose Cuervo, Rome Dello, None of it worked, dude. I am sick to my freaking stomach. And you would have thought the way the game was going that these guys heard my call yesterday during shoot-around. I mean, I told D'Lo to step up, and my guy's three balls were wetter than Alvy's bed sheets. I told LeBald, you can't vanish in the fourth. He did it. He was incredible. AD was unstoppable until the fourth. I mean, everybody heard my call except for one idiot, good old Diarrhea Darv. I mean, where do I start with this moron? Dude leaves two timeouts on the table just like he leaves his hands in the pocket the whole time, not challenging any of these questionable calls that murdered us. Or how about having zero offensive sets in the fourth quarter? You couldn't get the ball to AD once? I mean, in the paint, one-on-one with Jokic, nothing. It was pure iso ball with LeBald. And then, you know, when I think the damage is done, I think the diarrhea has ceased. Ham gets in front of the mic and spits out some more Darvaria.
He says, there were some tough calls, but it can't be an excuse. But, you know, it is tricky when the game is officiated different in the season than the playoffs.
What? My man, you say that, and then LeCap, D'Lo, and AD are all crying and blaming a foul that happened in the third quarter. The third quarter! We were still up 10! How about blaming the offensive rebounds that I just got? How about blaming leaving Michael Porter Jr. open all game? How about blaming that you had no adjustments in the second half? You are Mike Malone's bitch right now, Darvin Ham, and it makes me sick. And it's hard because I can speak for Laker fans like LeBron. When you go out on the mic and say BS like that, like, we want to root for you, dog. We're trying to root for you. But you look like a little bitch when you go out and say stuff like that. I can't believe they're blaming the refs, dude. It's incredible. That's the last thing they should blame. I mean, forget Jungle Caramel, Jim. I need Jungle Life Support, my brother. I'm not going to run away from my pick. I'm sticking Lakers in six, but one of you guys, please, hold yourself accountable. Man, seeing the feet out.
Dude, I got to be honest. I was hoping that call would not end. That is such a great call. V, the thing is, have you noticed, it's kind of inverted. The worse that things happen to the Lakers, the better your calls. The worse they play, the better your calls. The bigger the tank job, the better your calls. The bigger the choke job, the better your calls. The less the accountability, the better your calls. The worse the franchise looks, the better your calls. Some of your best calls have been made after those two losses. Rackham. That's a great call. A great Laker call right there. I agree with everything he just said. Good job, V. Sorry about that, bro. Sorry that you're going through it. Sorry that you know your predictions not come to fruition. And most of all, I'm sorry that your team choked and then had no accountability or answers whatsoever after it happened. Let's go to Green Bay. Matt, good to have you. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Hey, Rob. How are you? I'm doing great, man. I tell you what, that was a great call. And I'm sorry to say he's only got two more times to call in and just go off on a rant like that. That was epic. But what I want to say is you were talking about ownership. I'm glad that the Bulky had more ownership, in the middle of a presser than the Lakers do. It seems like, you know, he's willing to admit, hey, I just left some skid marks on the floor. But the Lakers, they get their ass handed to them. Up by 20, how do you lose that stuff? And then to blame the replay center? I mean, goodness gracious. Even Knicks has more accountability than they do. I'm out.
Dude, I think you wanted to wedge in a Trent Baalke reference. But then you're right. At least he owned it. The Lakers ripped the gas in the fourth quarter and then owned none of it. Baalke's out there during a presser like it's nothing at all.
Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final.
Notice he didn't blame that on the replay center. Notice he didn't blame that on the NFL not liking him. Notice he didn't blame that on anybody at all but himself. Said excuse me and played right through it. Then you got the Lakers owning nothing whatsoever. Nothing at all.
What are we doing?
Nothing. Yeah, what are you doing, man? What are you doing, LeCap? What are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Well, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're choking.
What are we doing?
What am I here for?
LeBron says, quote, what's the point? What's the point? The point is you choked away a 20-point lead. The point is You blew another double-digit lead to a team that owns you. That's the point.
It bothers me.
It bothers you. Bothers you that you can't get a call. Bothers you that the Lakers can't get a call. You know what bothers Laker fan? That you can't win a game that you lead by 20 in the second half. Come on with that. Man, the excuses, the crying. And AD, I'll say it one more time. What is this guy doing even referencing or bringing up the Defensive Player of the Year finalists in the middle of that series? Dude, do you not know how important this series is? Hey, face of the franchise. You're already down one game. You already blew a double-digit lead in that one game. The one thing you don't want to do is fall behind two games to none and have to beat these guys 4 out of 5 when they've beaten you 10 in a row. And you're out here complaining about the DPOY finalists? Hey, one more thing, Defensive Player of the Year. How is it that you couldn't stop Nikola Jokic once when it mattered? Yeah, you're not getting run because the league doesn't like you. I don't know if they look worse on the floor or off it. All-around nightmare for the Lake Show. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up. Phone lines are open. Lots to get to in hour number 3. Stay tuned.